I wonder how many of us have been in the service of Uncle Sam. I can't see, but I would assume that some have been. I was 35 months in the Air Force. I was drafted into the Air Force. It seemed rather strange, even to me, that someone would be drafted into the Air Force. Well, before you take the oath, you take an exam, and they examine you and see what you are most fit for in their eyes. So anyway, they thought I was good for the Air Force. And so I went into the Air Force. But a strange thing happened. It was really strange to me because I didn't know where these verses came from. But they were in my heart. Exodus 14:14. You know what it says there? I'll fight for you. You hold your peace. You know, there are times when you could express yourself. And here the Lord says, don't do that. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. Praise the Lord. I had enemies in the service from my own. I mean, from the shop in which I worked. The boss was against me. He was a wicked man. And I brought my Bible to the shop, and he didn't like that. And other things. He called me the instigator of trouble. The instigator of trouble. Well, on one occasion, he showed himself to be the instigator of trouble. He threw me out of the shop. I had to leave. But you can't do that. I mean, he had no power to dismiss me from my place of service. And so I went to the chaplain, and the chaplain was a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and he said, Ted, what's the problem? And I said, well, there really isn't any problem. It's just that he doesn't like me. And so we don't get along very well. Later on, after the war, he came to me and asked if I would suggest that they take him as part of the civilian force. Well, I didn't know whether I should do that or not. Another time, these airplanes, and I worked on a B-17. That was the workhorse of the Air Force. We took supplies overseas and brought people who had been lamed or badly wounded. We brought them home again to Floyd Bennett Field. That posed a problem for me because I wanted to go to New York. And I did that. I had passes to LaGuardia, and then I would use my thumb. And frequently, people would bring me to the house, and I woke the people and said, it's Sunday. We're going to church. Well, anyway, the other verse is Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Nothing can hurt you. Everything must work for your good. You understand that? those who are called by him. It must be for my good. How often I would go into an aircraft and start bawling, crying, when I experience his goodness to me. How good God is, and how he desires to bless us. I wanted to serve the Lord, and so I joined the choir, and I've been trying to think of this hymn that we sang. Every Sunday we sang the same hymn.
In the cross.
What was it there?
In the cross.
The cross?
In the cross.
Yeah. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. I've been endeavoring to use my voice to sing particularly at Christmas time. We go to a home in our area, Jennings' home, where the elderly live. And this fella, I guess he's heard me sing, I don't know how many years. And so this last time I sang, or maybe it was before, he said, "I used to know you when you could sing." So he had a comment for me. But I try anyway. Praise the Lord. All things work together for good.
Hallelujah.
You believe that?
Yes.
Anyway, find that in Romans 8:28. Well, was the Lord able to do that? To do what he said? That's the interesting thing. You know, I was in, as I say, 35 months. So what happened to me? Well, I went through basic training. That was pretty tough. And then they had a period where you learned everything about the aircraft. You had to learn everything about the aircraft. And so we spent that time learning. I were different places in Texas. And so I was not really assigned to anything after the basic training because the B-29, you've heard of the B-29, the Flying Fortress, was coming out. And they wanted people to learn how to operate these aircraft. And so I was held back. And so when the time came for shipment, they didn't ship me. They had enough without me. And so here I was left alone. But they don't let you lie around very long. They've got a spot for you, and they'll put you there. Oh, I was going to say at the outset, it's much like Abraham. He didn't know where he was going to go, but he just went out at the command of the Lord. And that's the way it is in the service. You don't know where they're going to put you after a while. You say, "I'm here," and then tomorrow you're someplace else. Well, anyway, the Lord gave me a job, and that was to be a propeller specialist. We had propellers in those days, and they were quite unique. The Hamilton Standard, there were a few, and there was a mechanical. There were those who were electric. and they were the inferior ones. But this, I worked on the Hamilton Standard and also on the Blade. We were told one day to ground all our aircraft and put on the Blade, a feeder shoe, they called it. See, in higher elevations, ice would form on the propeller, and they wanted to alleviate that, and so we were to put on feeder shoes. Now, you can't put rubber to alloy without treating the alloy first and then putting the rubber on. But my boss, he told them, go ahead, just put the rubber on. And so they did. I took the time to put the treatment on the Blade and then the feeder shoe. And when these aircraft came down, on most of them, there was a little bit of rubber, piece. And so, of course, we were called to task. And he blamed us, and I blamed him. I mean, before these people. And so I was in trouble. But it was true. He had told them to do it this way. It's not going to work. You have to do it correctly. Because you have to sign off everything that you do, you have to sign off that you did it. See? And so I fell out of favor with him for good. It was for good. See, after a while, we didn't have as much work because the war, it was coming to a close. And so so many planes didn't go, and consequently he didn't have so many propellers to work on. So being a clever fellow like I was, I said to them, I want to work the night shift. And so they consented to that. The night shift did nothing. And I was permanently on the night shift. What I could do is take a pass and go to New York. I did that perhaps one whole week. I was a part of a wedding, and so I had to get to New York. But anyway, what was the ultimate? Well, they sent me to... The ultimate was they sent me to Kearns, Utah. You go through Colorado and get to Kearns, Utah, Overseas Replacement Depot. And then everything closed because the war ended. And then they where did they ship me then? What was it?
Delaware?
Yeah, to Delaware, a place in Delaware, where I, as I say, I had that access to the aircraft, and they were kind enough to take me to LaGuardia. So I had the opportunity to go to my own church for possibly a year. Now, how can you do that? Or who can do that? All things work together for good. See, God was working in my behalf, and he saw to it that I could get home for that time and hear my uncle and my father. The only difficulty with that was I had to go to church, and then I had to leave New York at 2 o'clock to get to my base on time, or else I was late, and I was in trouble then. But the Lord saw fit to so work, to place me in that situation. So I'm thankful. And then he brought me ultimately to Williamsburg. The pastor there, what was his name now? Vincent Hofflander, a young man. And the people in Williamsburg, they like strong food, I mean food that is not always good for their stomach. And this fellow had a weak stomach, and he didn't want to offend them in any way, and he would eat things he shouldn't have eaten. Took his life. Then Brother Gardner came to me and he said, would I go and assist them? And assist them. So I ceased assisting them some time ago. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Just keep on, keep on. Praise the Lord. Serving Him. There is no end, or should there be an end? I'm glad for my son and that he assumed now responsibility for the assembly. Oh, that we need to pray for our young people, that they will find their place in God's kingdom. That's one thing that impressed me again today. There is a place for everyone. Everyone in the service of the King. There's work yet that needs to be done. Jesus, by thy grace, enable us to serve you acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so the Lord took care of me. I didn't get overseas. I didn't go to Belgium either. Well, that's overseas. I didn't get there either, because when that war, or the war broke out there in real seriousness, they took from the Air Force young men and put them in the Battle of the Bulge. But they couldn't take me, because I was a propeller specialist. And so the Lord protected me in many ways. Oh, Lord, I want you to have your way with me. Jesus, 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 if there's anything you want me to do, show me and I'll do it for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy that my life shall be.
I know some of the young men have a song for us. All right, come, young men, sing. Young men and Teddy.
Thank you.
Come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.